Today we're going to begin the sermon with a portion from the Jesus Storybook Bible. This is one of my favorites. Now we're looking at the Gospel from Luke, so if you want to follow along when we get to the adult portion, have your service leaflets open to Luke. And as I show the pictures, Dana's going to show you the pictures. Here's what we know before we start. Jesus was praying. We don't know how long he was there praying, but it was long enough that the disciples saw him there. Jesus prayed a lot. And as he was praying, the disciples waited until he was done. And then they said, "Jesus, teach us to pray. As our rabbi, teach us to pray." So as the disciples asked, it's important for them and it's important for all of the adults here, but it's also important for all of you that Jesus teaches us how to pray. So here we go. So one day, Jesus was with the disciples and he was praying. And when he was finished, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." So Jesus taught them. He said, "When you pray, don't pray like those extra super holy people. They think if they say lots of words, God will hear them. But it's not because you're so clever or good or so important that God will listen to you. God listens to you because he loves you." Did you know that God's always listening to you? That's amazing. Did you know that God can hear the quietest whisper deep inside your heart before you even say anything? Because God knows exactly what you need even before you ask him, Jesus said. You see, God just can't wait to give you all that you need. So you don't have to use long words or special words, and you don't have to have a special voice when you pray. So when you pray, pray in your normal voice. Just talk. Just like you're talking to someone you love very much. Like this. "Hello, Daddy." This is how he encourages us to pray. "Hello, Daddy. We want to know you and be close to you. Please show us how. Make everything in the world right again and in our hearts, too. Do what is best, just like you do in heaven. And please do it down here too. Please forgive us everything we need. Please give us everything we need today. Forgive us for doing wrong and for hurting you. Forgive us just as we forgive other people when they hurt us. Rescue us, we need you. We don't want to keep running away and hiding from you. Keep us safe from our enemies. You are so strong, God. You can do whatever you want. You are in charge now and forever and for always. We think you're great. Amen." Yes, we do. So we ended that prayer with amen. And now I'm going to continue my sermon, but y'all can go back. James is in the back, and he's got clipboards for some of you, and others he just has the paper, so you've got coloring pages that go along with the service. So you guys go back to James. He's in the back if you want a clipboard. James, why don't you just... He's got clipboards and crayons in the back. One of my favorite prayers, and it's the first prayer that I learned. How many of you kids have learned parts or all of the Lord's Prayer so far? Okay, I'm seeing some hands. I'm seeing some adult hands too. When I was little, I can remember my dad would come and tuck me in, and every night he would pray the Lord's Prayer, and I learned to pray it with them. So the Lord's Prayer, as you're looking at the passage from Luke, it begins, "Father, hallowed be your name." Now, as a child, that word intrigued me. I heard it like Halloween, but I didn't know how it worked. So I just said, "Hallowed be your name," and wondered about Halloween. Well, the Greek word translated hallowed literally means to make something holy, to set it apart, to clean it. It's used a lot of times in the New Testament, and this place where he's teaching the disciples to pray in Luke and in Matthew is the only time it's translated hallowed. I think that goes back to the King James translation and how people learned that word. But that's the only place. Every other place in the New Testament, the Greek term is translated made holy, or to make holy, or to consecrate, or to set apart, or to sanctify, or it was sanctified. So what we're saying there is, Heavenly Father, your name is holy. Your name is special. Your name is set apart. May your name be holy. That's how it begins. The next phrase, we read, "Your kingdom come." And this is a reminder that as God's people, it's not all about you. It is all about God. It's his kingdom we're to be focused on, not our own. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Matthew's gospel, as he tells this teaching of prayer, he says, "Let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's about your kingdom and not our kingdom. So as Jesus teaches, prayer is to begin declaring God's holiness, the holiness of his name, praising the Lord, and then declaring allegiance to his kingdom and to his will. Now, God's will is what's important to him. And how are we to know his will? How are we to know what's important to him? Well, there's two primary ways. Through reading his word and through hearing his voice and listening to him. His kingdom and his will. Now, verse 3. The prayer returns to requests from the Lord. Jesus teaches them to ask the Lord. Verse 3, "Give us each day our daily bread." He teaches them to ask for their daily bread, what they need. That's the first thing they're to ask for. And the second thing is to ask for forgiveness and forgive our sins. So Jesus tells you that you can trust God for what you need. And this doesn't mean that you can sit around and not do anything and say, "God, send me money or send me food," and then Uber Eats will drive up and bring it to you. It doesn't exactly work that way. We're to live and move and have our being. We're to go and make disciples. And as we go, as we look to him, as we seek his kingdom, he promises to give us what we need. It means the Lord cares for you and his people. He wants them to live and work, and he will provide. Now, he may not always give you what you want, and that's hard. But he always gives us what we need. And the second thing Jesus tells you to regularly ask for, to acknowledge and confess your sins and ask for forgiveness. And forgive us our sins. It's when we confess and ask for forgiveness and return to the Lord that we are made holy. Because in ourselves, we're not holy. The only holiness that we have comes from without as Christ lives in us, as his Holy Spirit fills us and flows through us. And that happens as we confess, repent, and turn to Him as Lord. Now, this request is different from all the rest of the prayer, because this request has a clarification or a qualification. Look at verse 4. And forgive us our sins. What's the next part? For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Or in Matthew's translation, we're to ask God to forgive our sins as we ourselves forgive those who sinned against us. So forgiving others matters. And if you don't forgive, if you withhold forgiveness, it affects your life and your faith. This is really difficult. It's difficult for children to forgive when they're wounded, and it's difficult for us as adults. We tend to not want to forgive. So I want to add a clarification. When you're deeply wounded by someone else, it is very hard to forgive, especially when the individual that wounds you isn't sorry or continues to try to wound you. Jesus didn't say, forgive all those after they apologize. He said, we're to forgive those who sin against us. What I want you to understand here is that you can forgive someone else and still feel hurt. It doesn't take away the wound. Forgiving someone who deeply wounded you also doesn't let them off the hook. Because we're not the judge and jury. Who is? God. We can trust them to God, and by forgiving them, we are disconnecting ourselves from the one who wounded you and releasing them to God. And then that reconnects you with the Lord. He is the provider of healing and restoration, and that may take time as someone may have wounded you. But He promises to hear our prayers, and He promises to give us what we need. Holding unforgiveness is not what you need. It's holding poison inside. You've probably heard it said, holding on to unforgiveness is like drinking poison and then expecting the other to get ill. Holding on to bitterness is the same way. At times I've had to say to others, I forgive you, but I'm still hurting and I'm not ready to be in relationship with you. I need time. I forgive you and I'm still hurting. Choosing to forgive someone who doesn't repent is really hard. But this is what Jesus teaches His disciples and you and me, that we are to regularly forgive others as they sin against us. And we're to ask God to forgive us in the same way that we're forgiving others. And as a final note with that, if you're struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness today, it may help to talk to someone else. You can talk to me. You could talk to a friend. Or I can connect you with a counselor. It may help to talk to someone else so that you can get to the place to forgive. But if you're holding on to bitterness and unforgiveness, I hope this convicts you to not go another day before dealing with it. And this brings us to the end of the prayer. Lead us not into temptation. As a child, I heard that, and I didn't want God to lead me into temptation. Well, it's important to note, God doesn't tempt us. In the world, we are tempted, and God allows it. He allows us to be tempted, but we're tempted by the world. We're tempted by principalities and powers of the evil one. We're tempted to turn away from the Lord and follow other gods. We're tempted by the forces of darkness who want you to fear, to live in shame, to doubt, to trust and pursue other false gods than Him. And so we pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, or save us from temptation. Help us when we're tempted. Save us from the times that we are tempted. And then it's here in the gospel reading that things get really interesting. And this opened my eyes to something I hadn't seen before. Jesus has instructed his followers how to pray, what to say as they pray. Now he tells a story, a parable, to help them understand how to pray. But here he's not talking about what words to use, but what posture to have as they pray. So Jesus tells a parable to help the disciples understand what their posture is to be as they pray. We pick it up in verse 5. A family is asleep in bed. It's midnight. And a friend comes by, knocking on the door. The friend needs help to provide food for a visitor that's arrived. I need bread! Wake up! I need help! I need help! And it goes on. Now, it's an illustration, a simple story to help us understand a spiritual reality. So in this simple story, the friend who needs help is the praying person. Help! Wake up! Who's the person asleep? God, right? Okay, we know God's never asleep. But how does it feel when you pray and you don't get an answer right away? Sure feels like he's asleep, doesn't it? You know how that feels if you've ever prayed, waiting for an answer. Here, the friend keeps knocking. As I heard our Bishop Alec teach, he was talking to the seminary, and he said about prayer, the Lord always answers prayer. He said, if you've heard someone say the Lord answers some prayer and doesn't answer others, that's incorrect. Bad theology. The Lord answers all prayers. He may answer immediately yes or no. Or there may be a long period of time before he answers yes or no, which can feel like he said, just wait. But he's not asleep. And he answers. He hears and he answers all of our prayers. So he instructs us in this parable that it's his kingdom and it's his will, so we can trust his answers. So verse 8, this is how we're to pray. Because of the friend's impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. So you need to pray with impudence. Yeah, you're laughing. What's that mean? Wake up! Persistence. Reminded me of a time when Kim and I went to a friend's house for dinner. And we came bringing a really special dessert that included ice cream. And we tried to keep it aside from the children, but one of the children saw this special dessert and said, I want the dessert! We hadn't even sat down. No, we're going to have dinner. And throughout that meal, I want the dessert! I'm ready for the dessert! I want the dessert! Okay, and their parents were so patient. Yes, we will have dessert. I hear you're asking, yes, there will be dessert. Want it now? You're not having it? Just keep eating your dinner. And it went on through the whole meal. And then at the end of the meal, I want dessert! The parents were able to say, it's time for dessert. They didn't say, here you go. They said, it's time for dessert now. You get to have dessert. That was a wait and a yes. That's how God challenges us to pray to him. To be persistent, impudent, annoying, always seeking him when we're looking for an answer. And I was convicted. I don't pray that way. I pray in the morning and then I move on. And then maybe the next day I remember, oh yeah, I need that. He's saying continue to pray. Continue to knock. It's His kingdom and His will. He will provide. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, to them it will be opened. As God's people, we're members of His kingdom first, not of the world. We're created and destined for eternity, so our physical lives here really aren't important. It's about His kingdom and His will. We can pray for healing, and that may not be what God's doing. He may have another plan through that illness, and we may not understand it until we see Him face to face. But we can't be focused on our kingdom. It's His kingdom. It's His will. We can trust Him. He may bring healing. He may ask us to wait for the dessert. And He ends with another explanation. How many fathers know how to give good gifts to their children? If you who are evil, which means wicked or sinful or broken, that's all of us, know how to give good gifts or answers to your children, how much more will the Father give us answers? What father, if their child asks for a fish, will give them a snake? How many of you children would rather have a snake than a fish? Okay, that might be a trick question because you might want the snake. Or if he asks for a sandwich, we'll give him a rotten tomato. How about that? Caspian wants the rotten tomato. If you then know how to give good gifts, then we can pray with persistence. With His kingdom and His will as priority, and the Lord will always answer with His provision. And what's it say there? How much more will the Heavenly Father give what? The Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. As we pray with persistence, with His kingdom as our priority, the Lord will always answer and give His perfect provision, which will always include the Holy Spirit. The Spirit's power, the Spirit's presence, the Spirit's guidance, and the Spirit's peace. Jesus teaches us that's how we're to pray. And I hope you'll be challenged to be a little more persistent as you pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.